Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 16th day of January, year 2019. I'm Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Toxic Masculinity, Current Events, followed up by a session of Open Mic. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Cumru Ambith. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep your comments or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. We also remind you that we have young people and senior citizens as audience members, and please keep the vocabulary, polite. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one person at a time, according to Robert's Rules of Order for conducting a meeting. Our website is www.pastordan.net. Now, that's where we have a page for this call as far as its schedule and itinerary, any future guests and that sort of thing, also information on how to contact the call and to listen in. There's also a lot of links there for information about local news, historical events, health information. In fact, I just put about 5 or 6 new links up for health information, and on a daily basis, any kind of news items. I try not to overload inboxes, so with email, if you don't hear from me, go to PastorDan.net, the daily mail page, and that's where you'll find the links to the different stories. A lot of things going on right now, obviously. These are the days at the end of the age that Scripture talked about, the great shaking in the heavens and the earth. If you go back to the Greek words that were used for those verses, it's talking about geopolitical, not just natural, as in tsunamis, earthquakes, storms, weird anomalies in our weather, that sort of thing. So it's also talking about a shakening as far as political, as far as human relationships, governments, religion, you name it, education. And certainly as you look around the world today, you can see that we are, we're in a mess. You know, it's funny, we've talked about the fence that everybody sits on. You know, most people that under the bell curve, the majority, they sit on the fence. Very few want to get involved. Very few want to take a stand on any issue. Yahweh is making that fence that you're sitting on razor sharp. Razor sharp. Basically, that's a way of saying that you're not going to be allowed to sit on the fence much longer. Okay? You're just not. It's either you're in bed with the goats or you're with the father and the sheep. That's it. Okay, as far as the non-Israelite races are concerned, you're either blessing Abraham and his descendants, the white race, or you're fighting them. Really, it's quite that simple. If you're aiding and abetting the righteous in trying to make this world take this world back and restore law and order, well, then you'll be blessed. Everybody has a right to life, liberty, and property. As long as you obey his law, period. Okay? Then for the people doing the works of iniquity, well, you're, as Yeshua used to say, you're condemned already. You've made your stand. Now, I want to start out with a reading out of Malachi. It's one of the minor prophets. He's not a very big book, only a few chapters long. But Malachi chapter 4 has an interesting end time message here. Probably would go hand in glove with the book of Enoch, which the powers that be removed from the scriptures, not all scriptures. I believe it's the Eastern Orthodox Church still has Enoch in their scriptures. actually, in a lot of ways, the Eastern Orthodox folks have a lot of things ahead of the, quote, whore of Babylon's daughter, namely the Protestant churches. We get it completely wrong. So the Eastern Orthodox kept the Book of Enoch. But anyway, Malachi chapter 4. For behold, the day comes, it burns as a furnace. Okay, now get this picture in your brain as we read this. The day is coming that will burn as a furnace, and all of the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. Okay, now where have we heard about stubble before? Yep, that's right. Ezekiel 25, Obadiah verse 18. So those who are proud, full of themselves, haughty, can you say Jews? And who do wickedness, again, can you say Jews? The number one at the top of the list of the nefarious folks out there. And the day that comes will burn them up, says Yahweh of armies, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. So right here in verse 1, we have a triple witness to what's going to happen to the sons of perdition, the descendants of the fallen one. Yeah, they're called Jews today. They follow the teachings of the Talmud, which is a sick and perverse book. They themselves are a sick, demented, perverse people. Just ask anybody that's ever lived over there, who was ever stationed over there in the military. Come on. The only people that won't tell you that are people who are part of the propaganda. They're part of the propaganda. They've got blood money, shekels, just like Judas. They've got Judas money in their pockets. And so they're telling you that these people do righteousness and they're good. No, they're not. They're scum. They're scum. Gunning down the Palestinians in cold blood with automatic weapons while the Palestinians have literally nothing to defend themselves with. They've stolen their land thanks to machinations of the Allies, particularly the United Kingdom, after the war, allowing the Jews to go in there and steal Palestinian land. The Jews have no right to that land, by the way. That's another big lie. So right here in verse 1, we have a triple witness to Ezekiel and Obadiah that at some point the workers of iniquity will be as stubble and there will be neither root nor branch. That's a biblical way of saying they are annihilated, exactly as Obadiah and Ezekiel say, annihilated. Okay, and again, people say, Dan, that sounds kind of cruel and violent and blah, 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 blah. And I'll tell you the same thing I've told people for a long time now. Take your Bible outside, put it in the trash barrel, put lighter fluid on it, and burn it, because you don't read it and you don't believe it. So don't give me any hard time. I'm just reading from the book and making an observation that anybody with a brain that has any neurons that still work up there, you could see this for yourself. Okay, you look at all of the idiocy that's going on today, and you can see Jewish fingerprints and Jewish shekels behind almost every bit of it. And if you can't, then you're probably part of the problem. You've got shekels in your pocket buying you off because you're whores, you're prostitutes. Mainstream media comes to mind immediately. They're all whores and prostitutes. Verse 2, but to you who fear my name, whoa, who's that? Well, first of all, you who fear my name, well, for you to be fearful of his name, you have to know his name. So is that the mainstream churches? Nope, pretty much not so. Is it the Roman Catholic Church? Oh, for sure not them. Well, just who the hell is it here then? You who fear my name, well, to fear it, you have to know it. Oh, wait a minute. That's identity. That's the folks who know the identity message, meaning you know who's who in the zoo. That's really all identity is saying. You can differentiate, you know who's who. So if you know his name and you revere him, in fact, this word fear comes from the same word that has been interpreted as revere. So if you revere or fear Yahweh, then the Sun of Righteousness, that's S-U-N, Sun of Righteousness, arise with healing in its wing. Does the sun provide healing? Folks, let's see. The sun is what allows the plants to grow. And as the plants grow, it produces oxygen. So your very breathing is because of the sun. The plants that feed you, that's by the sun. The animals that you eat, they graze on the plants. Well, okay, that's from the sun. We know in natural health that the sun provides many beneficial rays for the eyes, and it's also a major component of the body making vitamin D. So, how about that? And it will have healing in its wings. You will go out and leap like calves of the stall. Well, for those of you that grew up on a farm like I did, you know how calves jump around in the stall. Yep, they're full of energy, and as the old farmers would say, they're full of piss and vinegar. And they're ready to roll. They're ready to rock and roll. They're bouncing all over that stall, and as soon as you let them out, they're bouncing all over the pasture field. You shall tread down the wicked. Whoa, tread down the wicked. For they will be as ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I make, says Yahweh of armies. So twice right here in the very beginning, he's referred to as Yahweh of armies. What do armies do? Do armies go to churches and sit in pews and pray? Nope. Do armies go to soup kitchens and hand out food to poor people? No, not usually. Do armies pass out Bibles down at the airport? Nope, they don't do that either. They fight what? Wars against an enemy. Verse 4, remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him to him in Oreb for all of Jacob Israel, even statutes and ordinances. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. Whoa, wait a minute. He will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day. And wait a minute, we have a clue. Who is Elijah? How will we know Elijah walks amongst us? Are you going to recognize his face? Are you going to recognize his voice pattern? Are you going to recognize him by the clothes he wears? What says here, because he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So our earthly fathers will be reminded that they are responsible for their children and for obeying Father's law. And then the hearts of the children would be you and me, folks, back to our fathers, meaning our ancestors, the roots of who we are, our culture, our heritage, our language, our race, the very things the great adversary, you know, we always talk about Lucifer, Satan, the devil, those all come from Greek and Hebrew words that mean the same thing, an adversary, okay? So who is the great Satan? Who is the antichrists, meaning plural, more than one? Who are the antichrists but he who is your adversary? What does an adversary do? They challenge, disrupt, they create chaos. And again, which group of people upon this earth do that more than any other? Yep. You got it. You win the prize. These people called Jews today, the Revelation 2, verse 9 people, claiming to be Jews, meaning claiming to be the sons of Jacob, Jehudites, but in actuality are the sons of the adversary. And the works of their father, meaning the great adversary, is what they do. So there's a lot in this Malachi chapter 4 that we have to look forward to, because we are approaching that time, in case you haven't figured it out. There are plenty of proud people that think you can change your sex just because you will it, no matter what you have between your legs. I mean, if that isn't a sign of mental illness, nothing is. People that think they can marry the same sex and get away with it, as if the laws of nature don't apply. So, you know, people who are proud are people who think that they are smarter than our Heavenly Father. That's a definition of pride, scripturally speaking. All right? Father says what? Come to me as little children. Come to me as little children. Think back, moms and dads, and for you folks that don't have children of your own, I'm sure you have siblings that had children, or somebody around you did. How do little children act? They're very innocent, aren't they? They're not consumed with materialism. They haven't been consumed with the false agendas and the propaganda yet. Come to me as little children. And what else is it that little children do? What is it, mom and dad, that your little children, at least in a normal household, if you were good parents, what is it that little children do? They trust you implicitly. They look to you for comfort, but they also look to you for discipline, rules, boundaries. They look to you for love and comfort and for healing when they are sick. They look to you for education, and they trust you. Is that what Father wants from us? Yeah, that's exactly what he wants. He doesn't care about your age on this earth. It means nothing to him. You can be 110 years old and you're still a child in his eyes. Many people don't come to know the Father until they're in their 40s, 50s, or 60s. Come to him as little children. So very interesting what Malachi is trying to tell us here. We have a hint of what Elijah will do to identify himself to you. Could he be here already? Ask yourself that question. He gave you a hint. He gave you a hint. He said that Elijah will come first, and then the judgment. Then the fire that will consume the proud and those who work wickedness. Do you think there's a few folks that you can pick on your neighborhood or around, or that you see on the television, that are going to be consumed based on what Malachi is telling us here? Yeah, the YouTubes and the mainstream media and the movies and the celebrities. I mean, if you can't pick out some people that are full of wickedness and pride, you're crazy. We got a ton of those kind of people. Look at these politicians, these arrogant sons of bitches in Washington. And I'm saying that very succinctly, that's exactly what they are. Sons of bitches. Bitches being a female dog. Okay? So they're sons of dogs. They're dogs. They're whores. They're material grubbing, lying, fake, phony, prostitute whores is what they are. Okay? And it doesn't matter if you're talking about Republicans or Democrats. They're whores. Washington didn't get to be the swamp and the cesspool it is because there were good Republicans trying to fight bad Democrats. No, they're two sides of the same coin. They're all whores. A good friend of mine from Alabama had a family member that went to Washington as a United States representative, and he only spent a year there before he came home. He quit halfway through his term and said, I'm getting out of Washington before they do to me and my family what they've done to everybody else in Washington. How about that? And specifically, he named Dick Cheney as one of the biggest of the whores in Washington, the prideful and the wicked, the very description of who Yahweh says will be consumed in the near future. Dick Cheney is emblematic of that. I know they're always talking about Hillary. It's kind of funny, isn't it? They talk about Hillary, the Podestas, Pelosi, Schumer. Yeah, they're whores. Yeah, they're demonic. There's no doubt about that. But why don't they ever talk about Dick Cheney, who's orchestrated some of the most diabolical stuff that's ever happened out of Washington? Why do they leave his name out of there? Kind of curious, isn't it? Yeah. It's kind of funny. Years ago, when I first heard his voice and saw his picture, I got the same, my buddy calls them Jesus bumps. I just call them cold chills or goosebumps. When I saw and heard him, I got the same ones when I saw and heard Bill Clinton and Hillary talk, and the same thing with the Obamas. And after the speech that George Bush gave about the New World Order, he became the same thing. I could not tolerate to see him or to hear him. And his son is no different. Fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. Same thing. But neither root nor branch will be remaining of these characters when the truth all comes out and their criminality is exposed. Now, earlier we were talking about the change, the life-changing experience when you come to know the Christ. I don't listen to the Hagman Report very often, but Steve Quayle, that's who it is. Steve Quayle was on with a former U.S. Marine that was stationed over in the Middle East for a good number of years, and then he became a federal law enforcement. He remained anonymous, but he was telling us about the terrible, terrible things he witnessed while he was over in the Middle East. And some of the things our military people were responsible for. I didn't listen to the whole interview because they got into the German and the German National Socialist bashing. And I can't tolerate that. When you have people that have committed heinous crimes at the level that the communists, the Bolshevik Jew communists did, and you're still going to talk about the Germans? Are you kidding me? What the Bolshevik Jewish communists did to the Russian people and to the Germans when they came into there and other countries as well, what they did makes Germany, even if it was true what they say about Hitler, makes them look like Boy Scouts in comparison. And yet it's always the Germans. So one of my canaries in the coal mine is, if somebody's going to try to tell me truth and you're going to attack Germany and you haven't figured out yet about the hoax it cost, I'm going to turn you off. If at this late date you haven't figured out that you were lied to, or you haven't watched the movie Hellstorm, or The Greatest Story Never Told, or read the book Other Losses, or read the works of Michael Walsh, the Irishman living in Spain right now, he's got an entire set of books. And there's many others. Michael King, he's also got Tomato Bubble. He's got tremendous information. Or the Barnes Review, the magazine called the Barnes Review. I mean, the sources out there of what really happened in World War II are astounding. For anybody to sit there and continue to bash the poor German people after what has been done to them and give a free pass to the bloodthirsty butchers of the red Jewish Bolshevik communists, it means you got to be part of the problem. You're part of the cover-up. Now, I'm going to assume that this anonymous former Marine was telling the truth when he said what caused him to come to Christ. And I thought it was very, very touching because his three-year-old daughter was part of that conversion. He had been a pagan, materialistic, atheistic pagan for many years. He got into the worst of what our military does. They train them to be killers. They train them to be vicious. And many times they partake in things overseas that are not very righteous at all. But one day he and his wife, who happened to be a strong believer, and their children were driving somewhere, and his little three-year-old daughter said to him, "Daddy, why are you going to hell?" That's a three-year-old child said that now. Most adults wouldn't even know to say that. So this three-year-old says to her father, "Daddy, why are you going to hell?" And it's interesting, father can use some very simple and innocent scenarios like this to do such a profound thing. And the Holy Spirit had to have been part of it, because he could not answer her. He got angry by the fact he could not answer her and the fact that she even asked him that question. But he also began to realize that for her to have asked that question, there was more going on here than what meets the eye. And it led to an epiphany for him, and he asked the Christ into his life at that point, and he was converted and changed his life from that point on, so that now he is trying desperately to undo the damage that the propagandists and the military and the government have done to him and so many other of our young men and women, trying to turn them into killing machines without a conscience. He's trying to expose all that. So praise Yahweh for that. I think we should all keep this individual in prayer and his family for both their further education into the truths and for protection from our many, many enemies. Because any believer today, if you take a stand for righteousness, you're going to have plenty of enemies. So there is a lot going on, a lot of revealing, a lot of truthers out there talking about everything. The kitty cat, what the hell, she calls herself the Truth Factory. That's it, the Truth Factory. She does some really, really good work. But she just put one out on the history of the Federal Reserve. It's probably one of the best short videos I've ever seen to very quickly identify how that monstrous organization got started, the duplicity and the dishonesty of it all, and the fact that it was set up for the benefit of the bankers from day one, never for you and me. Now, I saw probably three different video stories about this Gillette commercial and the toxic masculinity, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk a little bit about that. It turns out Gillette's marketing manager is none other than a man-hating homosexual female, which doesn't surprise me. I'd be willing to put a $50 bill down on the fact that she's a crypto Jew, and that would add to making it very believable that she would come up with something as idiotic as this. But they usually have a multiple purpose. So she wants to diminish masculinity, and at the same time, they want people to be talking about Procter & Gamble, and particularly their subsidiary known as Gillette, in order to get public attention, because bad publicity. No such thing as bad publicity. So typical of a Jew, they get a chance to denigrate males, particularly white males, and at the same time get everybody thinking about their products so that they can boost their income. All right, make money while they're also denigrating masculinity. No surprise there, is there? Procter & Gamble is the host company or the parent company for Gillette and a whole bunch of other products. I'm happy to say that, as far as I know, there are no Procter & Gamble products in the office or the home. None. Not that that was done entirely on purpose, but I looked down through the list of companies that Procter & Gamble own, and I pretty much don't buy any of them. Okay, so praise Yahweh. Father led me away from them for other reasons. Typically, it's because I don't like what they produce. It's either that or overpriced, or if it's a food item, it's got too much junk in it, too many dyes, sugars, MSG, high fructose corn syrup, dyes, you name it. It's not real food. Might look like it. Might even taste good to you. But what it does to your insides, no, not so good. So here again, the attack upon males in general, white males specifically, by everybody. And we've been saying that on this radio program for the whole 19 years that we've been on. The war is against the white male, and the reason is because the white male represents the progeny of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that were known as the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay, Jacob's descendants, literal descendants. And again, if you're not familiar with how that all works and you want a quick lesson, you want to come up to speed in a hurry, go to yourbiblicalheritage.com. And again, that's all together, your, Y-O-U-R, yourbiblicalheritage.com. And Pastor Blanchard has a 7-book series that'll take you from step 1 to step 99 on who you are, the proper identity of who's who in the zoo. So it is your true biblical heritage. And you need to figure it out, folks, because if you don't know who's who, how do you know who the enemy is? Okay, we're in a war, okay? How many times Sun Tzu, everybody's talking about Sun Tzu and this great war between the right and the left and good and evil, blah, 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 blah. Well, any good commander, such as Sun Tzu was, and my personal belief is Sun Tzu was Caucasian, as so many figures from antiquity, Buddha, the original Buddha didn't look at anything at all like the statues that the Buddhists pray to today. The original Buddha, by descriptions of historians from antiquity, he could very easily have been a wise white man. Buddha, the ancient Ainu people of Japan, obviously Caucasian. The Brahmas of India, the ancient aristocrats that ruled over what we call India today, obviously Caucasian. The ancient Egyptians, no doubt about the fact they were Caucasian. Same thing with ancient Greece and Persia and Media and Parthia, the Scythians, on and on and on. Even Attila the Hun was a Caucasian. Genghis Khan, Caucasian. In fact, the very word Khan, which is what they called their kings, their rulers, is Hebrew. Okay, so in the Chinese tongue, they use the Hebrew word. How about that? Just like we talked about it, Turkey. In the Turkish language, the word for man is, guess what? Adam. A-D-A-M. Right out of the ancient Hebrew. Adam. Adam. So right there in Turkey, where the ancient Persia, Media and Persia were, they use to this day the word right out of the Hebrew language for man, Adam. In fact, the word Arab is a Hebrew word. It's been anglicized, obviously, but Arab is our language in antiquity. It meant dark. Because the Arabs were darker than the Caucasians that lived amongst them. Okay, so they were just referred to as the dark people, the darker people. Not that that made them bad, they just weren't part of us. So Arab is dark people. So the whole nonsense of Noah's three sons being the fathers of all the various races is completely ludicrous. You can't take white men and women and make other races. It just isn't possible. So this whole evolutionary thing and the blue marble thing is all to throw you off track, folks. Sorry, but that's just the way it is. It's just like Occam's razor says, you know, when people try to muddy the waters with a bunch of propaganda and pseudoscience, it's probably the least nefarious, the least complicated, the most commonsensical answer will be the one that's right, the one that makes sense. Just like Scripture says, accept all things and keep that which is good. So the attack upon us with this latest mental construct, and they term it toxic masculinity, that's a sign of the Antichrist and how they work. They always try to invoke emotionalism, ad hominem attack upon the people. That's the sophistry that they work by. Okay, they can't attack us on principle. They can't attack us on facts. They can't attack us on historicity, because those are all in our favor, all the truth tellers. So the only thing they're left with is emotionalism and ad hominem attacks against the individual, the person trying to reveal truth to the masses. So now they're losing the war, by the way. These are all things that people that have lost. They've lost control of the narrative thanks to the internet and a mass awakening that's happening by the Holy Spirit of our Heavenly Father. Okay? They have lost their death grip control over the narrative. And now they're desperate, exactly as the book of Revelation describes. Yahweh said, I will put a hook in their jaw and pull them forward. Their paranoia, their schizophrenia is working against them. When the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. And the wicked will run when no one pursues them. That's a biblical way of describing paranoia. Okay? And that's what they have. So they're desperate. They're desperate to get us to continue to hate our culture, our race, to believe that the other races should be lifted up even to our own detriment. And it's starting to fail. White people are beginning to see through the genocidal policies of these megalomaniacs that have risen to power in our countries. It's very interesting to note that Theresa May, the crypto Jew that worked her way up through with shekels in her pocket, blood money, is now losing the votes of confidence over there and losing her attempt to push her Jewish agenda over on the people of Great Britain. Maybe the whites there will actually rise up and take back their country at some point and dethrone the Arabs, dethrone the Jews, and kick them the hell out of their country. That's what they need to do. 18 cities with Arab mayors. Are you kidding me? Of course, we're no better over here, but we need to do the same thing. The white race needs to stand up and take back control of our nations. As James David Manning, the black preacher of Harlem, who has the ministry, Outlaw Ministries, he has said it in many of his addresses that the United States of America will fail in the very near future if the white race does not rise up and take back control of it. He's very outspoken about that. And he's even said that he's praying for it, and he would assist the whites to do this if they let him. And he encourages his congregations to do the same thing. Okay? He's been saying that for years. Not my words. This is the words of a PhD-educated black man, preacher, Harlem, New York. Because it's true. We built the country. All right? Now, non-whites can believe the horse manure if they want, the lies of the media and particularly these Jews, these adversaries, but that doesn't change facts. So it's interesting that some of the black race, recently I read an article by a black gentleman in South Africa who has basically said the same thing, that if there's a movement in South Africa for white people to form take a portion of South Africa and make it like a province under their control for all whites to go to and leave the rest of South Africa to the communist leftovers from that butcher Mandela. And he said, if that happens, we'll be starving to death within 2 years. Because it's the whites that built Africa from nothing. He says, we know that over here. Not sure why white people can't figure it out, but the blacks that live over here, no, we didn't build South Africa. The white man built it. We didn't come down into the Transvaal until the white man had built it into a civilization. And we knew that there were jobs and housing and medical and education available if we would go down there and work for them. We didn't build it. There weren't even any blacks in the Transvaal when the Boers showed up. And the Boer, the word Boer is Afrikaans for farmer. So it's just basically calling them farmers. So Boer, and the Boer War, by the way, was orchestrated by two Jews, Oppenheimer being one of them, to get the gold and diamonds away from the Afrikaners who had gone into Africa and settled there and established civilization. They found out they had gold and diamonds and silver and such things, so they orchestrated lies about the Boers so that the Boer War and the British went down there and murdered them. But they were actually losing. The Boers were actually beating the British that had come down there. And so they did a typically Jewish thing. They took the women and children and put them in concentration camps and said if the Boers did not surrender, they would murder their families. That's how they fight, you see, just like a Jew fights. A Jew likes to go in when you're not looking, or like they do now with the Palestinians when they're armed with sticks and stones and they've got tanks, cannons, and automatic weapons and body armor and helmets. That's the kind of Jews they are. Okay, that's how they like to fight. When you don't know they're coming, and then they outnumber you 10 to 20 to 1, and they've got automatic weapons, and you've got sticks and stones. That's what they call a fair fight. Amazing, isn't it? You see, when the white men were in charge, we had rules of engagement, and we also had chivalry, even on a battlefield. That's all gone now that Jews control things with their blood money shekels. There are no rules of chivalry. There's no rules protecting civilians. It used to be only military combatants were to be harmed. In wars, you could not go to the civilian population. Well, the Jews, like Marshall and Eisenhower in World War II, made sure that was no longer possible when they firebombed Dresden, Germany, and destroyed it completely, and there wasn't one military target in it. The entire city was destroyed, firebombed. They cooked hundreds of thousands of Germans, mostly elderly and children and women, cooked them alive. Cooked them alive, trapped in the buildings. That shows you the hatred of these bastard Jews towards the white man. And then they went and did it to 50 other German cities. So warfare has changed now that the white man is no longer in charge of the battlefield to where it's just turned into hell on earth. There are no rules. There is no protection for anybody anymore. I remember reading a story about the Druids. Everybody makes fun about the Druids, but you know, it's kind of funny. To become a Druid priest in Old England, you had to apply. So typically, it was only the rich people, princes, people that were in line to become a king, whatever. They were the ones who were sent to become trained by the Druids because it was rather expensive. But it was also very hard to get in. They had to apply 3 years in a row. 3 years in a row, they had to make application and pass the entrance testing before they were finally accepted. And then when they went to the school, they stayed at the school, and I believe the education there was at least 20 years. It took 20 years to be trained because they trained them in everything. Science, astronomy, mathematics, history, politics, languages. They trained them in everything. That's why they sent their young men there to be trained so that they would be better administrators, better governors, better princes, better kings. And the story goes that if two opposing forces were on a battlefield and a parade or a caravan of Druids was coming through, it was customary that both sides would cease hostilities instantly. until the Druids had passed through. That's how much respect they had. Hollywood and their idiotic movies portray the Druids in a completely different light. Completely different light. There's no credibility, and of course they completely mask over that it was an entirely white operation, of course. But it's interesting that even in the heat of battle, if the Druids showed up, both sides would stop rather than take a chance on hurting them. That's how much respect was there for their wisdom. They were often hired to be mitigators and moderators between disputes, etc., because they were known to be fair. They had no agenda. Their whole thing was education. And that's also where we get the reverence towards oak. Now, of course, Hollywood, the Jews, they make fun of it as if they perform human sacrifice and everything else. That's bull crap. Even in modern times, if you go into a courtroom, take a look at the furniture in the courtroom. At least it was up until modern times. In the colonies and in the early years of America, clear up to the 1950s, every piece of furniture in a courtroom is made out of oak. It used to be a law in the United States that no contract was valid unless it was signed on an oak table. So you see, our traditions go way back. And why would that be? Why? Because oak is a very strong and sturdy tree, one of the sturdiest out there. My father almost lost a toe one day trying to take a chainsaw and cut down a small oak tree down at the foot of the garden that we had on the farm where I grew up. And because it was such a very dense and hard wood, he didn't have a good grip on that chainsaw, and it jumped on him, and the blade came down across his foot and nearly took off his toe. Oak is strong, just as we're supposed to be. Stiff backbone, strong in the truth, strong in righteousness, strong in justice. We've stopped being that. That's why the world is in chaos and in turmoil, because the sons of Yahweh have neglected their first duty to be here. Instead, they've turned into whores chasing after Jew money. Curtis, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hello. Can you hear me? I'm on my computer.
Yes, I can. Loud and clear.
Oh, excellent. I'm listening to the show, and I've been working 12 hours tonight, so I don't have much on my mind, but I'm enjoying the show.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent. Well, thank you. Well, if you do end up with something you want to add or say or ask or whatever, certainly jump back in.
Okay, this is the first time I'm using the computer. I'll just sit back and listen for now.
Yeah, did you have any difficulty getting set up with the headset and everything?
No, I'm not using the headset. I'm talking from the computer.
Oh, you're using the built-in speakers and microphone then?
That's correct.
Oh, well, that's good because there's no echo or anything.
Yeah, the ministry's been a real blessing to me. My walk with Yahweh's growing and growing, and the information is great. I receive the emails all the time.
Oh, okay. Very good. Oh, yeah, I know I have a tendency to overload the inbox sometimes, but there's just so much stuff going on. It's unbelievable.
Oh, I listen to it all. I make time.
Well, excellent. Well, thank you, Curtis. I appreciate that. Okay, well, like you said, you had a 12-hour day, and I'm sure you're pretty tired. I'll go ahead and mute you, but do the same thing. Now, let me, real quick before you go, what did you have to press on your screen to flag that you wanted to say something?
Well, I was pushing a bunch of buttons. I must have pressed the icon that has the kind of the circle and that little pin at the end of that circle.
Oh, it should, like a voice box on cartoons and stuff.
That's correct.
They call it a voice bubble or a dialogue bubble.
Yeah.
Okay, I gotcha. So that's what you pressed, huh? It's the same.
Right.
Yeah, the same image, the icon at the top of the screen in the free conference call dashboard, right?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right, Curtis. Well, thanks a lot, buddy, and Hope you enjoy the rest of the program.
Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, buddy. Okay, excellent. So I've been wondering about that, folks, that how the speakers, because most all of the newer computers have a built-in speakers and microphone. Back in the old days, you pretty much had to go buy a separate headset that had a microphone and whatnot and plug it in. And now they've improved the microphones. In fact, this new one I've got here is an all-in-one computer. It's a refurbished Hewlett-Packard. It's actually got stereo microphones and stereo speakers. So the quality has gone up dramatically, and obviously Curtis being able to do that from his computer, the sound quality is very, very good. And I thought since the speakers are in the open and so is the mic that there would be a bad echo. That's why I use a headset. But technically I could do this the same exact way with the built-in speakers and microphone. But the headset allows me to move around, and sometimes I have to look at different screens and look at paperwork and things like that. So having a headset with a mic is much more much better for me. But interesting stuff, interesting stuff. And Curtis, thanks for calling in and sharing that. We always like to hear good news. Obviously, today we hear tons of bad things left and right. I did like that John here in Miami wrote in. He's a white alpha male on the call tonight. I'm very blessed that most, actually, I can't think of one that isn't. Pretty much every male that is part of our audience that contacts me anyway, that I'm familiar with, every one of them is what I would consider alpha males. They have no problem with masculinity. They have no problem telling people the way it is. They have no problem making a stand. They have no problem with teaching this message. And so that is a real blessing to be surrounded by men that still know what testosterone's all about and aren't afraid to tell a pervert that they're a pervert. One of the good things that I'm finding with this whole toxic masculinity thing, it's actually doing us a favor in some ways, is because people that buy into this are weak-willed people. Okay? They're weak. And we don't want weak people in our ranks. So I look at it as the people who promote toxic masculinity, I don't preach to them. I don't try to teach them. I wouldn't tell them about natural health. I wouldn't do anything to help them. I'm not going to do anything to hurt them, but I'm not going to do anything to help them either. I'm going to walk away. I have my own version of the walk away movement. And I'm going to walk away exactly as Yahshua HaMashiach, our Christ, told us to knock the dust off our feet from such as those, because they don't care about truth. They don't care about decency. They don't care about any of that. So those that promote toxic masculinity are usually either homosexuals, degenerates, Edomite Jews with their shekels, their blood money. They're all part of that crowd, and so I just walk away. Their days, according to Malachi 4, their days are short. So thank you for identifying yourselves. They're part of the tares. Remember the parable of the wheat and the tares? The tares are identifying themselves, just as that parable said. Right before the harvest, the tare would be standing straight up while the wheat are bent over in humility. Why? Because we have big, heavy, golden grains of wheat just before the harvest. We're bent over. We have so many good works and so many good deeds. Oh, wait a minute, Dan. All you have to do is say the sinner's prayer. You don't have to have any good works. Really? Again, I say it. Let me know how that works out for you. I'm trying to fill my basket completely full of grain. If you think you can stand in front of Messiah on that day with your basket empty, but you prayed the sinner's prayer, and you put shekels in the plate down at the church every Sunday and didn't do anything else, no works, let me know how that works out for you. I plan on going with a basket as full as I can get it. So anyway, the wheat are bent over in humility, bowing down to the authority of our Heavenly Father with their golden grains of good works, good deeds in the name of the Father. While the tare, while it's growing, it looks like wheat, but the tare is sticking straight up because now it identifies itself. It's haughty. It's proud. Oh, that's right. That's what Malachi said right here. And all the proud and all who work wickedness will be stubble. How about that? So there's that tare sticking straight up. And what does it have compared to our golden, nutritious wheat kernels? The tares have black, toxic seeds. Instead of bringing nutrition and health, should you eat it, if you were to eat the seeds of the tare, they're actually toxic. In fact, they'll not only make you sick, they could kill you, depending on your body's ability to withstand what it does. So there is a beautiful parable that goes right along with Malachi 4 to tell you about what's going on. And so toxic masculinity helps us identify tares. Just like when I see the young men running around with their hair up in a bun. Great big letter T tear to me. Don't even come near me. I don't want you in my militia. I sure as hell don't want you in my righteous army. I don't want you anywhere near me. If you're that weak-willed that you buy into this bullshit, that somehow makes you sensitive and a better man, putting your hair up like a woman, you haven't read your Bible, son. Very specifically says, men are to dress like men and to appear as men, and women are to appear as women, period. And if you don't know which of those two you are, you have identified yourself as a tare. If you're that weak-willed and that poorly organized within your brain that you can't tell what sex you are, again, walk away, folks. Walk away. The alpha males, our time is coming in the very near future. Yahweh has lifted up many of you. I've been talking to a lot of you here recently. And I can tell Father is getting the men ready because their ire is up. They're pretty close to their limit. They're getting ready for the fight. Reminds me when I played high school and college football. Before a game, they used to put us on the goal line after our warm-up exercises, and we'd face the opposing team, which is down at the other end of the football field, and they're doing their warm-ups. And the coach would whip us up into a lather with a speech about how we're going to get these guys. And, you know, you can just imagine what he might say. And he'd have us all kneeling in our 3 or 4 point stance right along the goal line facing the opposing team and just grunting and snorting and everything while he's giving this pep speech. And then he would blow the whistle, and we would charge forward as if we were going to go the whole way down the field. But we didn't. We went about 20, 30 feet, and then we'd go sit on the bench and get ready for the start of the football game. The point of it is, it was to get us ready for the coming contest, and Yahweh's getting our men ready for the coming contest now. They're righteous indignation is boiling right now with the complete idiocy that we see going on around us. So the old saying, don't interfere when your enemy's making a mistake. The enemy is making lots of mistakes lately, lots of them. So the fight, the football game, the end of the age battle between the children of light and the children of darkness is ramping up rapidly. The government shutdown is already in the longest ever in the United States, anyway. We know that the central government of Spain was shut down for well over a year. It might still be. I haven't really checked. But when I last checked, it was well over a year. And they got along just fine. They actually found out we really don't need these bastards. And that's what they're afraid of in Washington, is that we'll figure out that most of government, we really don't need them. You and I know how to solve our problems. We can work with our neighbors. We don't need these bastards. We really don't. They just suck up our money and then dream up more ways to give away our money. Just go look at the statistics at the billions, and that's with a B now, not millions, but billions of dollars given away to countries, many of whom are our enemies. But we know why, because the politicians have a backdoor deal with these countries that money circles around and ends up in their pockets. How else does somebody like Nancy Pelosi on her salary live in million-dollar mansions? Or Sheila Jackson Lee, the pedophilia black lady from Texas? Okay? And the rest of these bastards in Washington. How do they end up with millions and millions and millions of dollars on their salaries? Because of good investments? No, because they're all part of the scam. That's why. So, the shutdown could bring about a reduction in force. There are rules in Washington that once it goes 25 work days or 30 calendar days, the president is allowed to go in and start doing a reduction in force. Praise Yahweh. Like I said, you could probably eliminate at least 85%, 85% of the federal government, and you'd never even notice it, except your life would get better. Less bureaucrats to deal with, less taxes needed, less interference, because the last time I checked, government officials, bureaucrats, they don't help us. They hurt us. Okay? Look up the definition of bureaucrat sometime. I'll tell you what. I've got my dictionary opened up here. Let me just see if this one has it. Oops. Lost my paper. Hold on just a second here. This is actually comical. I've used this to open up a lot of people's minds over the years. And I'm just curious. Now, my definition came out of a 1980s unabridged dictionary. Unabridged means it's got the full definitions. Okay? And I was looking up another word. Typically, that's how I come up with a lot of these things, like when I looked up rhadamanthine and I found that and had never heard of it before, but it was next to the word I was looking up. And so the same thing with bureaucrat. I was looking up a different word, and I looked over, and I happened to glance at the definition. I about fell out of my chair. Now, the definition in the older unabridged dictionary by Webster said that it's a public official who does the same thing day in and day out without intelligence. Okay? Without intelligence. Now, we've talked about the electronic lexicons, the electronic dictionaries, the electronic versions of the Bible that are out there. You have to be careful, because ever since the digitized versions come out, that makes it easier for the artificial intelligence and our sensors to go in and to change things. That's why I keep all my hard copy reference books. And I'm glad that I learned a lot of what I did about this message before computers became available. I had to do it the old-fashioned way, looking through books. So I know what the older books have. Now, here's what the new definition has. An official who is rigidly devoted to the details of administrative procedures. Now, that's a cryptic way of saying the exact same thing, without intelligence. In other words, they follow procedure even if it defies logic and it's not the right thing to do. They, like here it says, rigidly devoted to the details of administrative procedure. That's a bureaucrat. Meaning they do what they do without intelligence. Oh, my gosh. The devil is in the details. Now, there's another definition now. I don't know where they get like three different definitions, but down here, this other one comes in with an official who works by fixed routine without exercising intelligent judgment. So here, one of the definitions does have it pretty close. So there you have it, a bureaucrat, an official who works by fixed routine without exercising intelligent judgment. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's exactly what we have. Government is bureaucrats. It's full of bureaucrats, and that's what we don't need. We don't need bureaucrats. So, we have the reduction in force. We also have a big hiccup coming in the near future with, as far as the financial area. Okay? I don't really know if the what everybody's talking about, the global currency reset or the reevaluation, I don't know if all that's true or not, where good people are going to be given large sums of money to do righteous works because of these elders and different people. I don't know if that's all true or not. I just don't know. I'm not saying it isn't. I just don't know. But I do know how to read the tea leaves as far as the fact that the United States Federal Reserve note is on its way out. The world has woken up to the fact this is fiat currency. And typically of Americans, we've abused it, particularly the Jews who pretend to be Americans. They're not Americans, by the way. They're dual citizen traitors who walk amongst us. Their first loyalty is to Itzalai over in Palestine and to their race and to the Talmud. That's their first loyalty, not the U.S. Constitution, not the white people who founded this country. They are the spies who walk amongst us. They are the wolves in sheep's clothing. Now, Bubby 1483 says, the scum rats are getting paid, the others are not. Take away the scum rats' pay also. That's right. Somehow they probably use the secret executive services, which is the hidden army of unelected bureaucrats that operate out of Washington. There's about 8,000 of them. They pretty much run all aspects of the government. And again, we didn't elect them, but they have tremendous power. Secret Executive Service. They probably figured out a backdoor deal to make sure that the scumbags in the government at the federal level, they're getting their salaries when everybody else is not. So, just another indication of the criminality, but there is a change coming. I mean, you can look at the new $100 bill and see half of it is in gold with the gold lettering talking from the Constitution, the gold lettering of the verbiage where it talks about the citizens. We, the people, have a right to alter, reform, or abolish government if it ceases to provide for our peace, safety, and happiness. Or as we like to say, life, liberty, and property. That is what we're entitled to by our God. Life, liberty, and property. The new commie governor of California wants to tax water. Doesn't surprise me. Jerry Brown is no longer governor. I think his name is Newsom, and he's another pervert crypto Jew communist. So one communist left and another communist comes in. I want to know when the righteous want to stand up and throw these bastards out. I'm talking about these communists. I'm ready. I think we've seen enough. Haven't we seen enough dead babies? Haven't we seen enough people die from opiate addiction, which is one of the leading causes of death today? Haven't we seen enough people die from iatropic death, which is death by medicine? Okay, that's the last time I checked, according to the person that sent me the information, 600,000 was the estimate. 600,000 Americans die every year by iatropic method, which means from the medical profession, either by wrong drugs being administered or wrong dosages, or malpractice. How about that? 600,000 a year. And who sits atop the medical mafia? I'll give you three guesses. And it's a three-letter word. So how about that? But a change is coming, and we talked about the fact that you should be prepared for any kind of a glitch. One of our listeners lives in West Texas, and I was told that there was a whole county in West Texas that went without internet today. I don't know for how long, but for a spell. And as soon as something like that happens, either the electric power goes down or the internet goes down, you quickly learn how dependent we've become. Now, I worked in the nuclear power industry, and when automation first started, when we had modules with integrated circuits and what they called CPUs or computer, processing unit, computer processing unit, CPUs. They had small chips in them that were automated, okay? We called it automated instrumentation that wasn't working off regular relays and resistor circuits. They weren't working off pneumatics. There was a high distrust. Most of our safety systems had to remain analog and not digital, because digital could not be trusted. There were too many crashes and et cetera. So the industry for a long time did not upgrade to all this newfangled automated stuff. Well, they've given up on all that, just like everybody else has, and now everything is fully in the internet of all things, as if it will never go away. And I used to tell people all the time, shouldn't we have a backup? I mean, doesn't that kind of make sense? What if by either accident or on purpose, somebody shuts this down? Do you know they just eliminated all of the automatic switchgear in the railroad industry? Or I don't mean automatic. They just eliminated all the manual. Used to be, what they call them, relay men? I can't remember now. I had a buddy of mine that was an engineer in the railroad industry, and he told me about it. But anyway, they used to have these guys that they hired that would do the switching of the tracks. In other words, when a train wants to go up a different section of track, you have to literally go out there with a great big arm and move it to switch that rail from one set of tracks to another set of tracks. That's what they call it, switchgear. So then they started putting in automated ones because they didn't want to pay a guy to actually go out there and do this, okay? And then a radio guy would tell them when to switch the track, etc. So they wanted to put in the automated one, okay? Well, what would be wrong with having it automated but leave the mechanism there to do it manually if you need to? Well, they didn't do that. And I think they did it on purpose so that you are tied into the web. You don't have a chance. You don't have a choice now. So the railroad system must have the computers and the internet and all this modern technology, or it can't run because they took out all of the manual switches, all the gear to change tracks. It's all run by computers now. It's all done digitally with the little boxes with electrical motors in them, high torque. They use them in the power industry as well. They're actually very efficient and they're very accurate. However, again, they work off of digital and electrical, where the pneumatic stuff, as long as you have compressed air, they'll run. Whereas the electronic stuff, if the electricity dies, you're, as they used to say, you're poop out of luck. So here we go again. They trap us, as my one buddy said. Why do you think they call it the net, Danny? Why do you think they call it the net? What do you catch in the net? Fish, game, things you plan on consuming. The net. Food for thought. So we got the more crypto Jews are in the news every day, and they're starting to be found out to be the traitors that they are. Anybody with a brain that functions can figure this out. But Theresa May, Angela Merkel in Germany, Theresa May, of course, in England, and Macron in France, and Trudeau in Canada. All degenerate traitor crypto Jews. being pushed. In fact, Macron is worried for physical harm to himself because the people in France with the Yellow Vest movement, they are that angry with that individual. And they don't even know the full extent of his treason. Wait till the full extent of their treason gets put out there. That's where I'm hoping Q is for real, because Q said it won't be safe for these people in the streets. Amen. It shouldn't be safe. If the full extent of what these people have done to the children, to the widows and orphans, to the other peoples of Southeast Asia and Haiti and places like that, where they've gone in and literally stolen children and people for their rituals and sick games, I'm going to tell you, it shouldn't be safe for them anywhere. And according to what we read in Malachi, it won't be safe, will it? Praise Yahweh for that. There's been a House Resolution number 25 to abolish the Federal Reserve and the IRS. Let's keep that in prayer, folks, that we have some prostitutes in Washington that actually grow a backbone and do the right thing. The Fed and the IRS need to be abolished. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. The boycotting of Israel is still going strong, and the Israelis and the Jews over here, of course, are hell-bent to try to use our prostitutes in Washington to make it illegal for us to boycott, divest, or place sanctions on Israel over in the Middle East, when that's exactly what should be done. We should boycott them, divest, and place sanctions on them. Again, if you were aware of what these people have actually done, you would want far worse than just boycotting them, okay? When Christ said that they were wolves in sheep's clothing, he wasn't kidding. When he said they're devils, he wasn't kidding. When he said they're vipers, when he said they are murderers, thieves, liars, just like their father, he wasn't kidding. And he also wasn't kidding when he worked through the prophets to tell us that these people called preachers today will one day be hunted down by their own parents. Their own parents will join the crowds to find them and hunt them down for their treason against the congregation of our people, pretending to be ministers of our Heavenly Father when in fact they're agents for the New World Order. Just look up the secret clergy registry that's with the Department of Homeland Security. The list of all of the so-called preachers and pastors who have already signed on to turn over their congregations when the day comes. You see, the Malachi and Obadiah talk about a day when we're going to take these people to task. The New World Order has a plan for taking you and me to task, but I don't know about you folks, but I don't plan going into that night quietly. I plan on making a lot of noise. As my one military buddy said, when they finally get to me, I want to die in a pile of empty brass. Brass is what is referred to as the casing for a cartridge that goes into your rifles or your pistols. Okay, the brass, because it was made out of brass at one time. Now some of them are made out of steel and things, but brass, it's called brass before you put the primer or the powder in it or seat the bullet on the end. It's called brass, empty brass. So after you've seen the movies where a guy's manning a machine gun and you'll see a big pile of brass around him as he's firing many hundreds of bullets. So that's a way of a patriot saying that they may get to me, but I'm going to expend as many rounds of ammunition at the enemy and take as many of them with me as I can. And that really should be every patriot's dream, that if I go down in a righteous fight, I'm going to do everything I can not to go down, but if I go down, I want to be knee-deep in a bunch of spent rounds, taking these sick, demented, demonic, satanic bastards out, because that's what they deserve. this world's in travail because the sons of righteousness have not grown their stones back yet. Why are we asking permission of our servants? Or did you forget government are called public servants? Servants. They are our servants. Law enforcement, whether you like it or not, you are our servants. That's why you have rules. You know, a lot of you guys out there are told that you got a gun and a badge means we have to do everything you say and you're our bosses. No, you're not. You're our servants. And the only reason you can carry that badge and gun is because you took an oath to uphold the Constitution, which is a sign of fealty to we the people, that you will do your job diligently and within the confines of the Constitution. If you violate that oath, you're no different than a thug. You're no different than the thief down here breaking into people's homes at night. You're just doing what you do under the color of law. You're actually a traitor. You're actually operating as a spy because you have the uniform of trust that you're wearing, but you operate outside the limits of the Constitution. Therefore, you are a criminal yourself. So someday, Yahweh's going to ignite the flame of justice within our white race, particularly our white men. And we're going to realize we don't need permission from our servants to do the right thing. We don't need their permission to hang our traitors. We don't need their permission to put on trial people who are guilty of fraud, perjury, treason, murder, kidnapping, raping of children, consuming of children, poisoning our water, poisoning our air, poisoning our food, and killing our people through malpractice. We don't need permission. Our Heavenly Father gave us permission already. In fact, it's not just permission, it's a commandment. So, we should all pray that our men will one day wake up to this great challenge and this great commission that was put upon us and realize that these liars and deceivers at the churches are doing the bidding of the Antichrist. Don't listen to them. This whole thing, what would Jesus say? Well, what did Jesus say to the moneylenders in the temple? What did Jesus say to the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew when she came up wanting her daughter to be healed? He called her a dog. He didn't even talk to her. He ignored her completely. That's right in the book. Oh, that's right. I forgot. White people don't read anymore. And they don't read the Bible, that's for sure. They think that prostitute down at the church will let them know what's important to know, won't they? So if you're going to hang your righteousness and the way you behave on the hooks of the local church preacher telling you the truth, again, when judgment day comes and you stand in front of a great white throne judgment with the Father sitting on the throne as monarch, let me know how that works out for you. That you listen to some pipsqueak, cuck, soy boy, feminazi behind the pulpit instead of picking the book up and reading it for yourself. Let me know how that works out. That'll be interesting. Curtis says here, the government shut down to me the power the red state has over our people. If Trump does the will of our people, a lot of tactics like government shutdown is applied. Stopping illegal open borders is well-chosen fight for Trump to me. Yeah. The only problem is you got to remember when government puts up a wall, it works both ways, folks. Remember the Berlin Wall that went up in Germany not too long ago? That was as much to keep the German people in as it was to keep outsiders out. So just remember that, all right? So we have to have due diligence and be very, very vigilant at this time. Very vigilant. Because what if you're being played to go along with the wall's construction? When if somebody just started building a wall, you would have been upset. Would that explain why the powers that be orchestrated these migrations and these invasions? You know, we've said that in the Patriot community for many years. Why don't they stop the massive immigration that the Jews put upon us? Everybody says Ted Kennedy, but that's bullshit. Ted Kennedy was just the goyim face on it. It was Jacob Javits and the rest of the Jewish cabal in Washington was behind the orchestration back in the 1960s to decimate our immigration policy. Why would they do that? Well, again, any good investigator, well, what? He'll look for qui bono. Who benefits from the massive immigration? Well, it creates chaos. They make money out of that, don't they? They get more legislative power and police powers. They wanted that. Okay, they got that. Now, if they wanted a wall to keep us in, they've got you clamoring for it, when all they had to do is make it illegal and stick to it. All they had to do is what I said. When they come across the border, shoot them and hang them in trees by the border. I'll guarantee you they'll stop coming. No more handouts, no more EBT cards, no more freebies, no more health care, no more education, no more anchor babies, no more preferences over the people that live here and have lived here and their children. Just got to stop doing the things that they're coming here for. And besides that, Soros is paying them. But he ain't paying them good enough that they're willing to die and hang in a tree for it. I'll guarantee that. So instead, you're going to spend billions of dollars building a wall that could end up being your prison. Just saying. As I said, now's the time to be as vigilant as you've ever been, because I haven't seen enough that I trust what's going on. Do I pray that it is good guys behind this? Yeah, I pray that. But at the same time, I don't trust them. My founding fathers told me not to trust them. My heavenly father tells me not to trust them. This whole wall thing could be a ruse to get you to not only approve it, but you're actually screaming for it. When all you really have to do is enforce the laws that we've had on the books to eliminate the illegal immigration. I would go one better. I would go and, first of all, if you're not a white male, I would strip every political person of power, because that's who the founding fathers said should govern over this land. If you're not a Bible-believing gentleman, well, then you don't belong in my government. And that includes all you Jews. That'd be the very first thing that would be done if you really want to fix this country, is strip the Jews of all political power. And strip them of all of their wealth, strip them of all of their material holdings, and put them in boats and ship them out into the ocean. Hopefully their Jewish friends will come across and pick them up. But knowing Jews, they'll probably just let them sink, just like they did back in the 1940s when they wanted world sympathy. They actually blew up a freighter with hundreds of Jews on it, and they killed them. They sank them, drowned them. Why? Because they wanted world sympathy for the new nation of It's a Lie. So if they're capable of doing that, they might not come and rescue you folks. You might want to think about getting on a plane and getting the hell out of here right now, just like the rabbi in New York said a few years ago. The handwriting's on the wall. The white race is waking up. You might want to think about getting out of here. That's not my words. That's the rabbi in New York's words, telling his fellow Talmudists that they're starting to wake up and the backlash will come. It always has come. What is it, 109 times through history that white nations woke up to what these creatures have done amongst us? Look at the damage it's done to this great nation. All of the perversions that we complain about day to day come from Jewish influence. because look at their Talmud. Just pick it up and look at it. I know you hate to read, folks. I know you do. You hate to read. Just pick it up and look through it. Abortion, right out of the Talmud. A baby is a fetus, a blob of material. That's out of the Talmud. Little girls can be used for sex slave trading, right out of the Talmud. We can be bled so that our blood of our children can be used in their rituals and their matzah bowl. That's right out of the Talmud. It's okay, because we're just animals. We're just animals. Okay? Not my words. They know that the average person's too damn lazy to pick the book up and read it, so they don't have much to worry about. But for those of us that have looked through it, that's where this sickness comes from. The demented minds of rabbis and the demented minds of the Talmud followers. And your preacher's telling them they're God's chosen people. Well, they are chosen, so it's not completely wrong, because Malachi told us here in chapter 4 what they're chosen for. The same thing that Obadiah at verse 18 says they're chosen for. The same thing that Ezekiel in chapter 25 verse 14 says they're chosen for. But it's not what you think. It's not what these lying preachers behind the pulpit are trying to get you to think. They're chosen for something far worse. Utter annihilation. And as more and more comes out about what these bastards have done, I can see the world demanding their annihilation. Because you haven't seen but just the tip of the iceberg, folks, of the culpability of these creatures that walk in shoe leather. You've only seen the tip of the iceberg. Wait till the demented rest of the story is told to you. As Q says, there will be no safe place for them. I've seen and read quite a bit, and it's pretty horrifying. I can only imagine what they're not telling us about. When it made a hardened New York City police officer cry as he witnessed some of the evidence, you can only imagine. I pray for that day. The whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. When are we going to be manifested, folks? What's it going to take? How much more innocent blood does it take? How many more women abused, raped, tortured, beheaded? How many poor white farmers in South Africa being destroyed? What's it going to take? How many more of our ladies in Europe raped, murdered by these hordes who are not of us? How many more people have to be betrayed by these scoundrels that have paid their way and used intrigue and assassination and blackmail to get their way to the top, like Theresa May and Macron and Merkel and Trudeau? Right? How many more? How much more of this idiocy do we have to tolerate? Pray, folks. Pray like there's no tomorrow. And I think we got a message that came in here. Let me see. Let's see, who will rule and reign with Christ determined at the great white throne judgment? Is that Israel's judgment for kings? I'm not sure I quite understand that one, so I'm going to save that for the next time, as I get more clarification on what that one's talking about. Exciting times, but definitely times to be fully on guard. And again, I hope you've made some preparations for a hiccup in the system. And by hiccup, I mean possible loss of electricity, water, food, gasoline. I mean, any of those things could happen. Some areas may not see any of them. Some areas you might see all of them. Some areas may have social unrest and rioting. Some areas may not have much at all. the point of it is nobody has the playbook. Father has the playbook, and he didn't say he was going to share it with anybody. He just said, you'll know the signs of the times, and by God, we're seeing them. Big time, we're seeing them. Okay? If anybody has anything and you wish to call in, now would be the time to do it, because I've pretty much covered all the stuff that I want to cover for tonight, and we've already run an hour and a half. So, and I know everybody's busy, so I appreciate the fact that folks can take that much time out and share share with us. Oh, why is the throne white? White is symbolic. Anytime the scriptures talk about white, it's talking about purity, okay? White is the presence of all the colors, the primary colors. Is that not true? So Adam, the white man, was put here with probably the essence of all combined. And that's why he was also given the creative power of Yahweh himself. That's why the white race has built civilization. And, you know, a lot of people say that, well, that's a racist thing. Why? Telling the truth is racist now? Taking a look around you and looking at the empirical evidence, that's racist? I mean, and I've always said to people, if the white race were to disappear off this earth tomorrow, how would that affect the earth? And it's pretty obvious if you stop and think about it. I mean, really, truly, just stop and think about it. If every white man and woman were to disappear, what would this world be like? I'm going to tell you, it'd be hell. Pure hell. Conversely, if the other races, any one of them, were to disappear, life would just keep right on trucking. Okay, that should tell you a lot right there. But again, white is a symbol of purity and righteousness. That's why Christ has talked about coming back on a white charger for war, a white horse with white robes dipped in blood. We're talked about having white robes on judgment. Again, purity. White is pure. Symbolically pure. So when the scripture talks about that, it's pure and holy righteousness. Let's see here. Okay, and I don't think anybody has anything they want to call in about. So, Bubby 1483 says, "Here, light overcomes darkness." Amen to that. Amen to that. We're actually in an interesting period of time, because you're going to see the end of the age. You're part of that very special people that Father said would not taste death. The overcomers will not taste death. Okay? Now, the enemy wants us to think we're all doomed. Okay? They've got all the money. They've got the army. They've got the police. They got a lot of people doing their bidding with their blood money. Yeah, it is pretty convincing if you're not an overcomer. If you're not grounded in the faith, as Father told us you should be. Fear is the greatest tool of our enemies. Fear. So the fear porn, you got to be careful about it, because that's its purpose. Because a person who's afraid doesn't fight back. A person that's afraid isn't going to take action, isn't going to think like an overcomer, think like a survivor. And like I said, I think we need to start thinking like warriors, like our ancestors were. Yeah, there's a fight coming. We're in it right now. There's casualties on both sides. However, each one of us is to do our due diligence in fighting evil with everything that we've got. Because in the end, that's all we can do. That's the whole duty of man, isn't it? Not trust in ourselves, but trust in the Father, and to do righteousness and to fight evil. Can't get much simpler than that, really. Think about it. So, but anyway, let's close in a short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We know technology many times is being used against us, but at the same time, it's the same technology that we're using to expose the evil that walks amongst us. It is also this technology that allows us to talk to our brothers and sisters all over this earth instantaneously. No matter what land we're in, no matter what language we speak, we're able to communicate with each other. Very soon we know that there'll be instantaneous translators, artificial intelligence and programming with algorithms that will allow almost instantaneous transfer from one language to another. That's right around the corner. It's already being developed. And so literally, we're at that point where virtually anybody can speak into a microphone on the net and be heard in the original language of the person at the other end. Hallelujah. So your truths are going out there, Father, and we are your workmen. We are the soldiers in your army, and we are here to do your bidding. We do ask that you give us strength. We do ask that you walk with us and encourage us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. Help us to drive out evil and wickedness wherever we find it. Help us always to have clear vision and good discernment. Help us to do righteousness in the face of all this evil. Give us a stiff backbone, and as Psalm 149 says, help us to remember that as we praise you, we're to have a double-edged sword in our hands, both literally and figuratively. And Father, we always ask that you would protect us by thy might from our multitude of enemies. And we look forward to your coming, Father Yahweh, to take the throne that you and you alone deserve to sit upon as our righteous King and ruler, and none other, and to end this turmoil and chaos. Come quickly, Yahshua HaMashiach, Yahweh in a flesh body. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.